name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. We are in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. We are listening to the messages given by Christ to the seven church leaders, because each of them, signifies one spiritual problem. The first one was losing his first love. The second was persecuted by the Jew and Romans. The third was compromising with the false teaching. The fourth was corrupted by adultery and idolatry. Now, in the fifth, we have a real problem because he was considered like dead. And he believed like he had a name in the spiritual environment, but he was like a dead. So Christ was telling him, remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent, therefore if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names even in Sardis who have not defiled their garments. So if you just say, no one can live in purity in this period of time, wait a minute, you have some people very pure, and they did not, accept this corruption. So he made it this way. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. And defiling the garments stand for accepting bad things on the white garment, on the Christian life. So when you accept to do any wrong with the idea of believing in Christ, that's not accepted, as if having this defilement of the garment. And they shall walk with me in white. So he's promising the good little names in Sardis to walk with him in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. Again, he's focusing on the white garment. That's a very nice meaning, because we had this white garment after baptism, because we had put on Christ a cloth. So the white garment stands for being Christian. Now we are Christ-like. So being Christian, Christ-like, we shouldn't accept any wrong, any sin in our life. So having some of these corruption and bad ideas and bad practices and sexual immorality, this will never make your garment white as before. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. So all our names, being Christian, baptized, our names are there in the book of life. But with our, loose struggle, lukewarm state, with our loss of interest in the commandments of God and the loss of love to God and people, we may be, blot out our names from the book of life. So we need to be careful. We had to be watchful, because our names may be washed away from the book of life because of our very loose state. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So if you overcome this case nowadays, you will be named before the name of the Father as a good servant. So you will overcome the problem. You need to struggle. You need to repent. You need to face your problem. You need to confront yourself with the idea. Do not believe in the people looking up to you, saying you are a great man, you are a spiritual man. They believe you are alive, but you are dead. So face it, please. We need to work. We need to struggle. We need to check our hearts and our life, because the eyes of God cannot see you as living servant. He who had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. So Sardis, the church of Sardis, it was about dead servant. like having the name of a servant, but no life in his heart, no spirituality in his life. So that's a major problem. Moving to the next church, Philadelphia. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who had the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens." So again speaking about himself before giving the message, "These things says who is holy." So he will speak about something related to holiness. "He who is true," the truth in Christ. "He who had the key of David." The key of David stands for, you know, the authority, because David had the key of the city of David. He can open the city in celebrations and close the city in times of war. That's why he continued saying, "He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens." So when it comes that God shuts the door, you have no other chance. There is no repentance after this life. But now the door is opened for repentant people. Everyone can make use of time and repent now, because the door is opened. The gate is ready to accept the repentant people. But if it is shut down, no one can enter. "He who had the key of David, who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works." Again, the same theme given to all the angels. "I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door." So it's an encouraging message, because this good man, the man of Philadelphia, was fighting evil and was fighting false teachings. So he is giving him an open door. He can open the hearts of many people. He had the chance to help others to know the real Orthodox faith. "I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. So don't worry, whatever the stresses and pressures from every side, still, you have an open door. I will not allow anyone to shut it before your eyes. So go on, continue teaching and spread the word of God. For you have a little strength, have kept my word." You have a little strength. It means that I know, Christ knows, you are not strong, you are weak, you have little strength. But with this little strength, God may strengthen you, will give you his power. And in your weakness, he will be glorified, because you will not work it out with yourself. You need the power of God. So I know you have little strength. "Have kept my word." Although you have little strength, but you were faithful, you kept my word, "and have not denied my name." So this church was persecuted and suffered many stresses of false prophets. But this man kept himself and the church away from the false teaching. And he still have the chance to teach the sane and sound doctrine. "You have kept my word and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, indeed will make them come and worship before your feet." So the persecution in this area of Philadelphia was through the hands of the Jew people. They considered themselves as Jew people, but God did not consider them anymore Jewish, because they were following Satan. They attacked the church, and they are the enemies of Christ. They are anti-Christ. So they considered themselves as Jewish, but in God's eye, they were not. They were people of Satan. "I will make those of the synagogue of Satan." So he called it this way, synagogue, which stands for the synagogue of the Jew. but synagogue of Satan, because he is the leader now. Who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. They lie when they say we are Jews, they are not. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet. So many of these Jew people deviated and followed Satan will come and repent, and they will kneel before this man asking for mercy and for help to be in the church. Will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. So people will know that you are the chosen man, you are the right teacher, you are the faithful man of God. So they will leave the false deviation, the false teaching, and they will come asking for your help. Because you have kept my commandment to persevere. So he was faithful in also the commandments of God. I also will keep you from the hour of trial. I will keep you from the trials. The hour of trial is coming. The period of persecution is strong. But again, I will keep you safe, although there are many trials around you, which shall come upon the whole world. Remember, St. John the Evangelist was giving this message, and he was imprisoned. He was in the island of Patmos, so he had no freedom to go and visit his children. So it was the time of persecution. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. So when it comes to trial, that like these days of corona infection, it's like a trial to test those who dwell on the earth. So it's like a test for all the earth people. Some of the people will stick to Christ, will pray more, will hold the promises, will hope in Christ. Others will deny his name. Others will shout against Christ, will keep their life away from heaven. So it's like a test. Having a trial, it's the chance for everyone to choose whether to go after God or away from him. Behold, I'm coming quickly. So he's giving this not only to Philadelphia bishop, but to everyone. I'm coming quickly. And that's exactly the message of today. Yes, Christ is coming. He promised. And he will come soon. And we need to be watchful. We need to be ready. His coming is soon. I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. No one may take your crown. So you have a crown now, and it's on your name. So please continue persistently in your struggle and in your teaching, in your faithfulness, so you will get your crown, because others like to steal your crown. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. That's exactly what's happening nowadays. Who were strong in the faith in the history, now the altars, the pillars of the churches are on their names. We have many churches on the names of the apostles, of the martyrs, of the saints, because they got the names in his church, in his temple. So they like pillars. We ask for their intercessions, because they supported our faith by their lives, by their history. Now we are supported and founded upon this strong church with millions of saints who lived before us, and they were like pillars in the church. I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. You will not go out of the church. You'll stay inside heaven, inside the church forever, because you are my man. So you will never be exiled because you were faithful. So it's about faithfulness. This church of Philadelphia speaks about how much you are faithful to Christ's name and to his teaching and to the pure life of Christianity. I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. So as if the name of God and the name of the city, the kingdom of heaven, on him. So he is part of the kingdom. He is king in the kingdoms. He is worshipping the King of Kings. So the name on his head, you know, the Myron, when we're stamped by the Holy Spirit, the name of the Father, it was here. So this name will help us to be saved forever, because we are following the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we are inside the church forever. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of my city, the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven. So speaking about the Jew people, they believed in their Jerusalem. But there is another Jerusalem. There is another life. New Jerusalem is the kingdom of heaven. So he need not to be one of the Jerusalem people on earth, but he needed so much to be a member in the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. We will see in the next chapters the picture of the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven, because it's not the city of Jerusalem in Israel. No, it's about the Holy Church, the Church of Christ, saved by his blood, and it comes from heaven with all the angels and saints glorifying God forever. And I will write on him my new name. Christ will have like a new name, but the new name of Christ is the King of Kings, or King forever. So because we are glorifying Christ with many names, he's our God, he's our shepherd, he's our master, he is our savior, but he will be our king. And for him, thine is the power, the glory, the kingdom forever. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Again and again, listen carefully, because these are the words given by the Holy Spirit to the men of God in order for them to lead the church according to his will. So if you are following up, you know, the first church was about the first love. And Christ asked them to repent, to regain the first love by regaining the first works and repentance. The second one, Smyrna, was about the persecuted church. Christ encouraged this man to keep it up and to keep himself strong in faith, and Christ will reward him. The third one, Pergamos, was compromising with the false teaching, accepting some false teachers inside his church, and it was related to the teaching of Nicolaitans, the one called Nicolaus. The fourth one, the Thyatira, that's about corruption, because in this church there were many false teaching allowing for sexual immorality and worshipping idols, like exactly what happened in the days of Elijah, in the days of Ahab the king and his bad wife Jezebel. Then the church of Sardis, the servant who were considered dead because he had a name, but before the eyes of God he was considered dead. And God warned him he needs to repent quickly and to struggle for the remaining good things in his life to spread over and to be as living as before. Then it came the sixth church of Philadelphia, about faithfulness, how much you are faithful to the word of God, to the name of God, to the teaching of Christ, again is the teaching of the Jew people. In all these churches, there were the same message, he who had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Glory to God. Amen.